ago. I want to preach this morning on a sermon entitled God Gives the Increase. 1 Corinthians 3 and verse 6 says, I planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. In Psalm 127 and verse 1, it says this, unless the Lord builds the house, they labour in vain who build it. Unless the Lord guards the city, the watchman stays awake in vain. Now, in the town of Warrington, there's a coat of arms, and I don't know if you've ever read it, but on the coat of arms, there's a motto, which is in Latin, which is, you have to forgive me for speaking Latin this morning, Deus dat incrementum. But it translates as God gives the increase. And that was a recognition by the town's past generations. They understood that the prosperity and increase they enjoyed was there by the grace of God. They acknowledged that without God, their efforts were in vain. And in our Christian life, we need to understand that without God, our efforts are in vain this morning. The work of salvation is a work of God in the soul. The fruit of the Spirit is the fruit of God's Spirit. The increase we enjoy is from God. Firstly, we have to understand this morning that God does increase us. God is a giving God. God is a generous God. God is a God of abundant life. He gives us more than you and I can ask or think. He's a bountiful God. And we're not talking this morning here about health, wealth and prosperity. But we mustn't throw the baby out with the bathwater either, must we? God does bless, doesn't he? He does increase, he does build, he does provide for us. He does prosper us, not necessarily with wealth and riches, but certainly with spiritual riches. And in our Christian life, we're called to grow, aren't we? We're called to increase and take new ground in the kingdom of God. It's easy for you and I to become content in the place where we're at and to just remain happy just with the status quo. To hang on until the rapture. And you know what? Sometimes in the battles of life and in the trials and difficulties of life, it's enough for us that we hold on, that we hold fast. But that shouldn't be our long-term position. We're called to grow in Christ. We're called to attain to all the fullness. We're called to reach full stature in Christ. God wants to extend us. He wants to take us further than our natural limitations. He wants our faith to grow, not to remain static. God is a God of increase, a God of abundant life. He doesn't want us just to be satisfied with little faith. He wants to bring us to maturity and the fullness of the knowledge of Christ. He doesn't want us stuck in our comfort zones of mediocrity or just plodding on. But often God shakes and stirs us, doesn't he? So that we can take new ground in our lives. God wants to increase us. He wants to have more, us to have more of his life and his power in our lives. And the kingdom of heaven needs to be extended in our lives and amongst us as a church and even beyond into the world out there. Sometimes though, you and I, we have to retake the old ground first. Sometimes we lose ground to the enemy. Sometimes we've allowed the enemy to repossess the land. We can lose ground in our Christian life. Land that we once possessed, we can be retaken. Maybe we've lost our zeal. Maybe we've become afraid to step out of the comfort zones that we once dared to tread from. Maybe the enemy has robbed us of the freedom and joy in Christ that we once enjoyed. The good news this morning is today is the day of salvation. Today is the day of new beginnings. The good news in the gospel is that we can start again. We can retake that lost ground in our lives. We can redig those wells that have become clogged up and stagnant and stale through neglect or distraction. Because God is in the salvage business this morning. He's in the business of rebuilding ruined lives. He's a God who can restore and save. In the scriptures it speaks about he can restore the years the cankerworm has eaten. Nothing is too difficult for him. No person is too hard a case. His mercy extends, does it not, to all who would receive it. God wants his church functioning in all the fullness of Christ and in the power of the Spirit. And in a way, you know, the church has to redig the wells from the early church, to retake the ground that the early church once had possession of. You know, the Pentecostal movement was really a rediscovery of the power and the gifts of the Spirit in the church. But whenever a well is redug, you can be sure that the enemy will try to fill it again and with rubble and block it and bring in false teachings and heresies. But that doesn't, you know, that doesn't mean we shouldn't be digging out those wells. There's always more from God for us. God wants us to increase in knowledge, in wisdom, in faith, in love, in truth, in unity. The Bible speaks about adding to our faith virtue and all these things. You know, there's a lot of busyness in Christianity and in religion, a lot of activities, but yet there's often a lack of spiritual growth because often the labour is in vain because God isn't in it. It's just religion or Christian entertainment. For something to flourish in God's kingdom, God has to be in it, because only God can give the increase. God is the source of the increase. It can't be mustered up by human efforts. It can't be drummed up or brought about by activity and good ideas. The only meaningful increase must come from God. In the Bible, it makes many references to farming. And if you think about the farmer, he tills the land, he ploughs it with hard graft and sweat, and certainly in the days before modern farming machinery, it was a hard graft. You had oxen or heavy horses pulling the plough through the hard fields, breaking up the fallow ground, which is another farming term that's used in the Bible, and then the farmer sows his seed. But then he needs patience, doesn't he? And it's entirely dependent on the right conditions if he's going to get a fruitful harvest. I don't know if you've watched that programme, Clarkson's Farm, quite interesting. A bit of an eye-opener to what's involved in farming. But, you know, when the harvest comes, the humidity of the has to be absolutely perfect. And if they do it a couple of days too early or a couple of days too late, it can ruin the harvest. And the farmer is dependent on the right conditions being there. And in the days before EU subsidies, the farmer depended on the harvest for his livelihood. And if crops failed, he was in trouble. His family depended on that harvest. If there was no rain and the crop failed, or if there was too much rain, the crop could fail. He was dependent on God because controlling the weather was beyond his control. I don't know. The illustration in the Gospels when the disciples had been toiling all night for fish and they caught nothing. Do you remember that scripture? And Jesus tells them to go out again and cast their nets. These were professional fishermen. They knew they'd been fishing since they were in nappies. If there was anything to be known about the skills of fishing, these men knew it. These were hardened professionals. It was their livelihood from being young men. And yet here's Jesus telling them to cast out their nets again. A bit like, must have felt a bit like he was teaching their grandmother to suck eggs type of situation. But in Luke 5, 4 to 6, it says this. Now when he had left speaking, he said unto Simon, launch out into the deep and let down your nets for a draught. And Simon answering said unto him, Master, we have toiled all the night and have taken nothing. Nevertheless, at thy word, I will let down the net. And when they had this done, they enclosed a great multitude of fishes and their net broke. And here we see that when they obeyed God and believed in what Jesus had told them and they stepped out in faith, they saw an increase, didn't they? As much as they thought they knew best, they were willing, or Simon was willing here, to believe and trust God, and God brought the increase. And going back to farming, you know, likewise, the farmer can plough and he can toil and he can sow, But without God giving him the increase, his labour would be in vain. Unless the Lord builds the house, we labour in vain. As I've already said this morning, we're not talking about a false faith, teaching about health, wealth and prosperity, name it and claim it. But God does provide for us. He does want us to rely on him in every aspect of our lives, both spiritually and physically. You know, you can't control your health. Every heartbeat is dependent on God, is it not? We've got no guarantees in this life. The only thing that stands firm are the promises of God. And our reliance needs to be on God. But more than this, we need to be pressing into God for more of him. We need an increase of God in our lives, in our church, in our individual circumstances, in our prayers. We need God to stretch us and use us beyond our limitations. In the Bible, it speaks about enlarging our tent. Isaiah 54 says, "Enlarge the place of your tent and let them stretch out the curtains of your dwellings. Do not spare. Lengthen your cords and strengthen your stakes." This, of course, was speaking to Israel, but we can apply it to us too. God wants to extend his kingdom in our lives, in our church, and even out there to spread the gospel. We need to enlarge the place of our tent in our lives, to let God take us beyond the limits of our natural ability, to be willing to let God extend us and stretch us. Have you ever been stretched by God? It can be a painful process, but it can also take us to new places in the Lord. It increases our faith. It brings growth to the body of Christ. It certainly takes us out of our comfort zones. But that's where the life of God is. The fiery pillar didn't stand still, did it? It moved on. And we need to move on with God to the places he has for us. You can't just rely on yesterday's revelations, yesterday's miracles, yesterday's prayers. We need more of God each and every day. But whenever you're looking to take ground in your life as a Christian, one thing you can guarantee is that the enemy will contend you for it every step of the way to prevent you from taking new ground. We are in a battle this morning, aren't we? And we need to recognise in the kingdom of God, we have to press in for what God has for us. We have to lay hold of eternal life. In the scripture it says, "The kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force." When you look at that scripture, it says, firstly, the kingdom of heaven suffers violence. What kind of violence does the kingdom of heaven suffer? Spiritual violence, principalities and powers of darkness trying to block every move of God. And in return, we need to be spiritually violent, aggressively contending spiritually for what is ours in Christ, pressing in, fighting the good fight of faith, wearing the spiritual armour that we've been given. Israel had to go in and possess the land. They had to go in and fight. It wasn't just handed to them on a plate, was it? Yes, God gave them the victory and was with them in the battles, but they had to fight to possess the land. There is land to be taken in our lives. The fullness of Christ is for all of God's people. We don't have to settle for second best or just enough. We can have more of God. But we have to press in for it. We have to contend. The armour that God's given us isn't just defensive. We haven't just been given a shield, but we've also been given a sword. And that's an offensive weapon. We have to fight in the kingdom of, fight against the kingdom of darkness. We have to reclaim all that is ours in Christ, holding fast as well to what we've already attained. Philippians 3:10-15 says this: "I want to know Christ, yes, to know the power of his resurrection and participation in his sufferings, becoming like him in his death, and so somehow attaining to the resurrection from the dead. Not that I have already obtained all this or have already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what is behind and straining towards what is ahead, I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenwards in Christ Jesus. All of us then, who are mature, should take such a view of things. And if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. Only let us live up to what we've already attained. So we are to strain towards what is ahead, but we also need to live up to what we've already attained. You see, moving on with God doesn't mean letting go of what God's already done for us or given to us. We have to remain faithful in the things that God's already given us and shown us and established in us. And then we are to take new ground as well. We can't neglect what we already have, but we can also press in for more. It's good to want more from God, isn't it? Scripture says, earnestly desire the best gifts. It speaks about growth, multiplication, increase, building, adding to our faith. 2 Peter 1:5, but also for this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things are yours and abound, you will be neither barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Corinthians 12:31, but earnestly desire the best gifts. We are to grow in both holiness and faith, and we are to desire the best gifts. We are to be extended. Yes, we have to stand our ground. Sometimes that's all you can do. In the heat of the battle, stand your ground. Hold fast. Defend the territory from enemy encroachment. But then we have to advance. We have to take new ground, dig new wells, and see God give us the increase. As I've said, we can't muster it up this morning. We can't do it by human effort or by stirrings of emotions. We need God. We need to diligently seek the Lord with all our heart, soul, mind and strength to hunger and thirst after righteousness, to hunger for God, because he's provided abundantly. He says, if you ask for a stone, if you ask for bread, will he give you a stone? God is a giving God. He's the living water. He's the bread of life. But we have to eat and drink, don't we? He's provided for the church every gift. He's provided the power of his Spirit. But we have to grasp hold of what is ours in Christ. To lay hold of what is ours in Christ. To take hold of the promises of God, not doubting them, but believing that they're for us, that we do have an inheritance in Christ, that we are the body of Christ, that God has provided for his church his Spirit and power so that we can overcome, so that we can be victorious, so that we can grow up into that holy temple glorifying the Lord. See, God is building his church. Ephesians 2:19-21 says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and members of his household, built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, with Christ Jesus himself as the chief cornerstone. In him, the whole building is joined together and rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. See, the building doesn't just stop at the foundations. It says that the building rises to become a holy temple in the Lord. The church is meant to grow, both spiritually, in holiness, in fruitfulness, and also by God's grace in number. We need an increase, but that increase can only come from God himself. And God gives the increase, but we have to understand that. Without God, we don't get the increase. Our labour is in vain without the Lord. Amen? Amen. Let's pray this morning. Yeah.